do you do,
Mike?
Right. Reaching around me. Careful.
I'm moving the boom.
Don't hurt anything. That's moving the boom.
That's the technical term.
That
in
is.
In case you weren't aware.
Good job. Moving the boom.
I'm bringing the boom. Fun fact, though, I did cheat. It says boom on the side.
Oh, you did. You actually. It's on the boom. Okay.
Microphone
the
boom.
The microphone boom. Yeah.
Otherwise, like, I think I knew that, but I wouldn't have thought to say
this
it.
Is actually, fun fact, the boom is...
the boom boom.
You can spend a wide range on it. And I spent extra money because of it doesn't have any reverb. That you can get, like, you can imagine it being in this small booth and you talk or something like that, you can get on the springs that are on there.
Oh, like the vibration of them gives
exactly.
you reverb.
Yep.
Few things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week 11 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And Sean will now take over and talk for the rest of the hour.
Well, Packers 24, Seahawks 27. Once again, as has been kind of the theme this season, we found a way to lose.
Yeah, it's... I don't know how quickly I want to get into my angst, or if I should just like slowly roll into it.
Your angst. I don't know if it's because of the way the season's going or because we were in Seattle, but we were leading the game at the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were leading the game at the end of the second, and we were leading at the end of the third.
Mm-hmm.
And typically you can go into a fourth quarter lead with Aaron Rodgers, no worries. You know, that's just been his MO.
Right,
he doesn't
right.
lose with a lead in the fourth.
Right.
But maybe because it's in Seattle where they just, you know, they have this curse going on that it never quite felt stable. Like, you didn't feel like we were safe at any point.
No, I agree. I agree.
And then, you know, we fell apart in the end to give it away. There's just been some heartbreaking losses in Seattle.
In
the last handful of years.
This game for me... was kind of like the nail in the coffin for McCarthy, for me.
This was it?
Yep, because just watching things happening, it's like taking a time out, knowing the flow of the game, because you wanted to make sure you got the right play. It's like if you were following the game, you would have more than one play figured out, depending on what the results are.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about it, but that was huge. Again... another game management thing that was just,
Yeah. And it's such a tough place to play to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about going there on the short week. It's tough to go to the West Coast. Is the last time we won in Seattle, we'll take the ball and we're going to score?
I think that was Green Bay when he did that.
That was in Green Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
I think you're right.
Yep. What's his name?
Rod Hasselbeck?
Yep.
Yeah. Rodgers has never beat Seattle in Seattle. And, you know, vice versa. Seattle has never lost in Lambeau in that era, mm-hmm. the Rodgers era, or never won in Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, tough place to play. You put down here, we started the game so strong. We're first play of the game. They have the fumble forced by Clay Matthews. We recover it, get a quick touchdown. You couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah.
That's the best way to start a game.
Yeah, we deferred. We won the flip. So we said, no, we'll kick off. We'll get mm-hmm. the ball at the half. And then we do a turnover. We score right away. First play.
Vegas had us as the favorites to win this game. 63%, I believe it was
really?
In the end. After that touchdown, the fumble and the touchdown, having Rodgers with a 7-point lead to start the game, I would imagine it was 80-something percent Vegas odds.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, one, we just had Aaron Jones's coming out party last week. So we got the lead. We can just run the ball all game.
Right.
Well, maybe not. So just all around a frustrating game. Frustrating that it felt like we kind of just threw it away when we had the game, and it would have been such a huge win for our season, which is now kind of on life support.
I agree. And then we've got Minnesota playing Chicago. We're recording on a Monday evening after the game. And Minnesota lost.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising. I thought they would win. We talked about that last week. But, I mean, the NFC North is so up in the air. I mean, I still am not sold on Chicago.
I think Matt Nagy has outcoached the division so far this year.
I agree.
I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Aaron Rodgers at the helm, and we look like, you know, the Bad News Bears half the time on offense sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas Matt Nagy can go in with Mitch Trubisky. And,
I mean, just the name alone, really.
I know. You have to say it with disdain.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Trubisky.
Like, well, we don't have anything on the menu today except for Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it even fresh?
Oh, God. You got to dunk it in your coffee to make sure you can eat it.
That threw me off. But, you know, their offensive line isn't great. They have, you know, a young quarterback in Trubisky. And the fact that they can go out there and throw it all over the field, mm-hmm. you know, get guys open, get their running backs, Tariq Cohen, room and space. Like, come on.
Yeah, I was.
Let's outcoach some guys here, McCarthy.
I didn't get a chance to really watch the game like I usually do before we do this podcast.
You mean watch it a second time?
Quickly.
But just to clarify for the listeners, you have watched the game.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry. But, you know, just starting out in the little bit that I did, it's like I was apprehensive going in there. I mean, it's a tough place to win.
Mm-hmm.
But we start out so good, and then it's like, hey, and seriously, that first quarter, that was it for us. After you get past the first quarter, we look like we have all year. It's just amazing to me that we weren't able to take it past that.
And it feels like the same kind of thing's falling apart every time. When the wheels fall off, it's the same story every time. And a lot of it will start with play calling, you know, talking about McCarthy. We had the timeout issues where two timeouts wasted in the second half to avoid delays of game. Mm-hmm. How long have we talked about take the 5 freaking yards?
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And this is why we lost the game.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the timeouts.
A timeout is so valuable.
Yes. Especially the second half.
Yeah, especially that's what I was going to say. Second half timeouts make or break the game, as we saw.
And they should be looked at differently from when you take a timeout the first half versus a timeout in the second half.
I think the second one we took, too, was 3rd and 4, and we took a timeout to avoid a delay game. I'm fine with Rodgers on a 3rd and 9.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You know, I don't think there's a huge difference when you have him under center. So just, you know, massively frustrating because it caused so many issues. We had to punt it because we only had one timeout to stop the clock, which is another story. I don't think we should have necessarily punted it on 4th and 2.
No, we shouldn't have.
But then also because we only had the one timeout left in the second half, we can't review the Lockett drop where they get 34 yards, huge chunk of field when they need it.
And he dropped the ball. It was obvious if you would have been able to review it.
But
if
we
you
can't
would've
risk our final timeout.
Right, exactly.
And just frustrating. Going back to that 4th and 2. So you have a 3rd and 2 on what's most likely your final offensive drive of the game, your final chance to win it. 3rd and 2, Marcus Valdes-Scantling kind of going on a skinny or a shallow out route to the sideline,
mm-hmm.
and Rodgers just ham-fists it at his feet.
Yeah, it's bad.
You know, ugly. He said after the game it stuck in his hand, but in the end it is Rodgers, mm-hmm. and we expect mm-hmm. a 2-yard throw. And so just frustrating that then 4th and 2, I think, what was it, 2:40 on the clock around there? It would have been.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like 2:42. And we have one timeout because we wasted those other two, so we punt it. our defense is struggling already. You know,
there is no common sense.
Our defense started out well, but then we kind of fell apart as the game went along, and then we lost our two best defensive players in Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark.
Right.
And so if we're trying to stop the run so they can't get a first down, that's going to be pretty hard to do. And so you're telling me you'd rather risk all that than give Rodgers the ball on fourth and two and let him get 2 yards.
That, to me, is the nail in the coffin. That's what I'm talking about in the beginning. It's like, seriously, they are the number one running offense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose your two best defensive linemen, and you're saying, hey, I'm going to play the numbers here. I'm not going to think it through. I'm like, oh, my God. That just, to me, it just – got to move on. We have to move on. I hope we don't win another game. I want to make sure he's done.
Yeah.
This is silly.
So you fully jumped off the bandwagon. You're
a Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
He's done.
You jumped off and lit a little wick on your way out.
Right, I got my little bobblehead doll.
Yeah, you got like the cartoon Wile E. Coyote string where it's sparking.
Me.
Boom.
To me that was telling. It's kind of like for anybody who's an NBA fan, the Minnesota Timberwolves coach, basketball coach, is his biggest flaw that people talk about. He used to be the Chicago Bulls coach, did very well, but they felt like in Chicago that the game passed him by, and he's extremely stubborn and just believes that his way is still the way. I feel that way with McCarthy.
Yeah. Well, you get a guy from Pittsburgh, you're going to get stubborn.
I can't argue that.
All right. Not moving on from McCarthy, but moving on from timeouts, we have Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, Le'Veon Bell 2.0, Melvin Gordon 3.0. Packer fans everywhere are just celebrating after last week's performance, his coming out game. We can basically win the rest of the season by just handing off the ball.
Give him the ball.
So what does McCarthy do?
He doesn't give him the ball. Only 11 times.
It is McCarthy's lowest regular season number for rushes.
It's almost like he just wanted to show people he's
better. Yeah, it's like, you know what? I hear you.
Yeah. It just makes no sense.
We talked about Aaron in the last game's post-conference, kind of like wink, wink, nod, nod. Hey, McCarthy, I was right. We should run the ball, kind of like trying to like strong-arm him in the media. And so Aaron Jones goes out there, 11 carries total.
This is crazy.
There's no excuse for that, because what we've seen McCarthy point to in the past is kind of game flow. Like, you have to go where the game takes you, and that's why you might be,
right,
getting away from the run, getting away from balance between pass and run. But we started the game 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
We started with a lead. And, we didn't see a big explosive run in the first couple handoffs to him like we have the last few weeks when he gets the ball. But he was still making nice moves with good vision and getting, chunk plays.
Right.
Just frustrating.
I watched the Wisconsin-Purdue game, and it's a case where I think it's really relatable in that they struggled with their run game, but they stuck with it, and then all of a sudden they get a 30-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
Or a 15-yard run. That's part of you. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. And to me, it's mind-boggling after last week, and then you decide, we're ahead, but I'm still going to go with my game plan. I think that the biggest frustration for me is I think Mike McCarthy talks a certain way, but he doesn't act that way when it's game time. It's like, if you really were a gamer, and you were like, oh, I got to throw the game plan out. Things have changed. He doesn't. He doesn't change.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen with Pettin so far this season, he adjusts mid-game almost every game.
Within the game.
Yeah. I think this is the first game I can really point at that the defense didn't end as strong as they started.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So it is frustrating that he abandons the run. And kind of going back to what you're talking about, where Wisconsin sticks with the run,
mm-hmm.
And McCarthy just doesn't adjust. The play action, and I jokingly said last week that we should, every time we pass it, run play action.
Mm-hmm.
But it might not be the worst thing ever. Because if you have a, you know, 2-3 yards a run, that's enough for play action.
Right.
And you have Aaron Rodgers, who is the most efficient play action passer in the history of the NFL. How many play action passes do we see now?
No,
not as many.
Not many.
And you can go break down game film, and it'll show you that you can run play action without setting it up with the run. Mm. You don't need to set up play action with the run to freeze defenders. They're going to freeze just because they have to respect the run. It's frustrating that, you know, if Rodgers is struggling, you know, obviously he's struggling. He's missing throws we've never seen him miss.
Right.
Give him more play action. Run it with Aaron Jones and then just play action, play action, play action. Let him do what he does best and let him, you know, have open guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you at all. I mean, you say it exactly. I agree with you. It's frustrating. It's like, it in any industry, whether it's sports or politics or CEO of GM, people they put their head in the sand and they it's very
the
uncomfortable
effect.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where McCarthy is, so all right.
Yeah. And really the only other thing I have with it is the relationship between him and Rodgers, where I feel like we've kind of poo-pooed that a lot because it gets built up in the media so much,
it's hard
relationship between
real.
Coaches and the quarterbacks, right. And it kind of feels like anytime they need a story, that's what they go to,
right.
Based on whatever team has a stud quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to know what's real or not, but, you know, you could be seeing that. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We know it causes issues when they're not on the same page. It kind of seems like they're both stubborn, and they're at an impasse now where Rodgers thinks he knows what's right. He has, you know, the accolades to back up what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy has the same on the coaching side. Maybe we just need a fresh relationship in there, a fresh system, and just something new.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what that puts it in a nice capsule on what's going on. If McCarthy gets let go, he's going to be, if he wants to, he'll be coaching somebody next year.
Yeah, he'll be coaching the Browns.
I think it probably will be the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, it's just that there, we talked about this, I think it was last week, talking about Andy Reid. You know, you just need to go to a new place, and he's doing very well. So.
Well, and he took a little bit of time off, too, and studied the game.
Which I think with Pettine, I think it really helped him 10 those 2 years off.
Exactly. Where, you know, you see on, like, these shows now where you get the behind the scenes we haven't before, with whether it's Hard Knocks or I think it's All or Nothing, where they follow him for the whole season.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see how just grueling these schedules are for coach and front office. Like, they have no free time.
None.
So obviously they get stale on what's new.
Yeah,
and
how would you
the
be
NFL
able to keep up?
Football is always innovating.
Right.
But if you don't have time, like, you know, a lot of it, for doctors, a lot of their time is spent studying on what's new because medicine's always evolving.
Right.
They have to study to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he just hasn't had a chance to breathe for, 10 years or whatever it's been. You want to move on to offense? Should we be done with play calling?
Right, let's go.
Aaron Rodgers, 21 of 30, 332 yards, two
Sounds
touchdowns.
Great. Sounds great.
Yeah, good stat line, bad game.
Yeah.
And we have some friends, Justin Walters, Jeremy O'Hare over at Oofda, Minnesota. They have a Minnesota sports podcast, and they were talking about how, because I mentioned.
Hey guys.
Yeah, nice little shout out and plug. I mentioned being frustrated with the way Rodgers played after this game, and they were, you know, flabbergasted. Like, oh, look at the Packer fan. Quarterback throws for 332 yards, two touchdowns, and he thinks it's a bad game. And, you know, but the stat line doesn't really tell the whole story.
Absolutely.
He had two huge throws
yep.
in the beginning of the game that just racked up a lot of yards to begin with. And then he missed so many checkdowns to Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So many, like, easy, here's 5 yards to 10 yards. Take it. And he would hold the ball, and he wants the big play.
He wants 20 plus.
Yeah. And obviously we do too, but I prefer getting it something. 5 or 10 at a time if we have to, right. And you wait for the big play.
5 or 10 at a time is a pretty good number.
Yeah. So, I mean, he took 5 sacks on the day, and I would say at least 4 of them are his fault for holding the ball too long. Yeah. We were 3 of 11 on third downs for the day, which is not Aaron Rodgers-like, especially when we have a lot of third and shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But on 3 third and short plays, he took 3 sacks. So
oh God.
When he had the check down to Jones there for the first down, he took a sack.
I can only imagine what that feels like on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Because as a fan, and you see it, it's like, seriously, again? I can only imagine. I mean, and again, you got to give credit to the defense.
Yeah.
Because they come in saying, okay, that didn't work. Here we go again. But I like the fact that you're pointing this out with Aaron, because I think a lot of people like to just point at McCarthy. There's blame to go all around.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd say more so this year with Aaron than we've seen in the past.
I agree. Yeah. It's I don't know. You said that you heard the rumor that he might have like a shoulder thing or
not a rumor. It was 2 or 3 games ago now, Collinsworth was announcing the game.
Okay.
And he mentioned he thought Aaron hurt his arm during the game and then thought might be throwing with an injured arm because he kind of – and he held it weird after.
Did.
And I remember seeing that and being like, oh, I hope that doesn't become a thing. But then it was never really mentioned after. But ever since then, he's been missing throws by a bit. I wonder if they're hiding an injury. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that would be so unlike the Packers.
Yeah. Well, any NFL team.
Yeah.
He does have 2 rookie receivers on the field. That's going to cause issues as far as timing and knowing, especially it can be a unique thing to get used to the way Aaron Rodgers' scramble plays breakdown. Mm-hmm. And that's where we saw so much magic happen 2010, you know, once the team understood what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You had, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Finley, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they... Cobb was there after the play broke down and Rodgers was scrambling. They knew how to get open.
Exactly.
We don't see that anymore.
And they'd say, see, they know that he's scrambling, so they mm-hmm. know automatically to do X, Y, and Z. They don't.
We saw that big touchdown pass to Robert Tonyan.
That was crazy.
His first ever catch in the NFL, 54 yards, just beautiful. But that happened on a Rodgers scramble.
Right.
And he kept running. 3 of the other receivers weren't really trying to get open. I watched the replay a couple times because they showed it. And they're running probably 60, 70%, not really like making a move mm-hmm. or watching the defender's mm-hmm. eyes to get open. And I'm like, what is this?
Right.
Obviously, Rodgers has nowhere to throw the ball because you guys aren't getting open. Like,
so
all you have to do is turn around and run the other way. They don't expect it.
And who do you blame that on?
I blame the coaches.
Exactly.
It's all about execution is what you practice
exactly.
and it's what you preach. So.
That's right. I think it really comes back down to the coaching.
So moving on to receivers, we talked about Tonyan, you know, our future stud, obviously. what?
Nothing.
I mean, he hasn't let Rodgers down yet. He hasn't dropped a pass yet. I'm not sure why McCarthy doesn't go to him more. We've talked about how McCarthy doesn't know how to use these guys.
I agree.
Look at this weapon. All he does, like, he hasn't had a catch for less than 50 yards in his career, and they've all gone for touchdowns.
I can't dispute it.
Yeah.
I can't dispute it. All right. You got it, man. You got me covered.
The other person who had a pretty good game was Davante Adams. 10
Ooh.
Catches, 166 yards.
Oh,
should man. Have been more.
Oh, it should have. He mm-hmm. he was
He's the
open.
Only guy catching balls on yeah. the day. But wide open, yeah, they couldn't cover him. He should have had 15 to 20 catches.
I agree.
There's really no reason that he didn't because he was open for him, and we had time. Rodgers had time. I don't know. It's just all around frustrating.
You know, I
no other receivers had more than 2 catches besides Aaron Jones at running back.
I heard a theory, and I don't believe it, but somebody said that they thought that maybe Aaron's just like purposely tanking the season so that gets rid of McCarthy. It's like, I don't quite believe it, but sometimes when you see Adams wide freaking open,
yeah,
and the ball, it's like he's like, does that hand thing where he's like, he's holding on to the ball, he taps it and looks and taps it and looks. It's like, he's your number one receiver is open.
I see Adams going down the middle of the field for 30 yards, but there's a chance I can get 60 if I wait a second. I don't know. It's not what we're used to seeing. That's for sure.
I was going to say, Jimmy Graham, he broke his thumb. Yeah. Was that where he was blocking when he had that happen, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like freaky.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it wasn't even cool that he was reaching for the ball or anything. Like, it was just like, got twist up in a jersey or something.
Yeah, and that's a bummer to see when we're having injuries at receiver already. We got two rookie guys in there. Mm-hmm. You know, having that veteran in Jimmy Graham is a big deal.
Well, and he draws coverage, and mm-hmm. so it frees up the other guys.
So I'm not sure how long it'll keep him out, but I'm sure when you're a receiving tight end, a broken thumb's going to keep you out longer than if you're a blocker mainly.
Right.
So we'll see more Lance Kendricks. We'll see more Mercedes Lewis probably. We've only seen him a little bit. My first instinct saying that, more Kendricks and more Lewis, especially Mercedes Lewis, because he's known as one of the better blocking tight ends in the league.
Mm-hmm.
My first instinct is to say we'll do more running the ball with two tight end sets.
But
when you go from a massive game by Aaron Jones to a game where you need to run the ball and you have a historically low number of rushes, I'm not going to try to guess what you're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no rhyme.
McCarthy's a real wild card at the moment.
Oh, God. But don't you feel like this game, that's why I said it in the beginning, where I'm like, okay, this is it. I mean, I can see it. I mean, he's coaching scared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like he's coaching confident.
I mean, we've seen some pretty ballsy plays by McCarthy in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some crazy 4th-and-2 go for it calls, you know, in big games. And even in times where we complained about him being too conservative, when you look back on his track record, he's not that conservative of a coach.
Right.
But this year, my God. Yeah. Like, I think you're right. I think he's scared. I think his seat's getting too hot.
Yeah. And justifiably.
And, I mean, when that happens, when the pressure's on, you go one of two ways. You either, you're in the pressure cooker and it makes a diamond, and you know,
or you put your head.
You
in
have
the
a
sand.
Huge season, or yeah, like mm-hmm. you said,
yeah,
you ostrich it.
I think that's where he is. Before we get into the running back numbers, Wisconsin stuck with their run game, and they had over 300 yards in running. I mean, I know that's kind of skewed, but I mean, they're playing Purdue, good Purdue team, and they ended up going overtime, triple overtime. They won. But it's just, if you have the chance to watch a team, the difference in that fourth quarter where the team offense that sticks with the run, they just run down. They just wear out. They can't mm-hmm. do it anymore. And so like a 1 yard gain where they don't blow the whistle and all of a sudden it turns into a 7 yard gain because they keep moving the pile.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And you have to respect it. That yes. it might happen, because we saw in the fourth quarter in this game, they didn't think we were going to run. I didn't think we were going to run.
Right. Why would you?
They blitzed whenever they wanted, wherever mm-hmm. they wanted, because they didn't have to worry about it. Moving on to running backs. Yep. We don't have a ton to talk about. Aaron Jones, despite having only 11 catches, had a pretty good game. He had 11 rushes for 40 yards and a touchdown, and then a receiving touchdown that came on a 24-yard wheel route.
It's not easy to catch.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Aaron Jones.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers. So, yeah, he had a good game. He had, you know, decent receiving. I think 56 yards receiving, something like that, but he ended up with a total of 103 yards on 16 total touches, and did well picking up the blitz.
He did really good with that. It's nice to see that, because you can leave him in. You don't have to swap him out, and then the mm-hmm. defense goes, oh, they need to bring in the blocking guy. That's huge. We gave up 5 sacks.
Not their fault. You said earlier,
4 of them you think were legit Aaron's fault?
At least.
I would
possibly say all 5.
Wow. Really?
Well, I think a lot of – I mean, you can't ask your line to block more than 5 seconds. Not in the NFL.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
You can't really ask him to block more than three nowadays.
Well, now you're bringing it to reality. Okay, I can't argue with that.
Oh, we can step back into Mike land if you'd
like.
That'd
be great. I like fantasy land.
So, I'm surprised they even sacked us since we have the best guys in the league.
Well, that was, I wish we were on video because Sean just like snapped his face and it just looked like, all right, we're going to go this way.
Hey. I've lived, what am I now, 25? I've lived with or around you 25 years of my life. I know how to survive in Mike land.
I appreciate Mikeville, anybody that whatever keeps you coming like to back. Call it. I know it's not easy. So, yeah, 5 sacks. So 4 or 5 of them were Aaron's fault.
I'm not going to put that on the line.
No. Nope.
Run blocking could have been better. We didn't stick with it, so we couldn't really see.
That's the thing.
How
I mean,
it went.
You can't even judge it.
Byron Bell had a handful of bad plays on run blocking, but again, there's a small sample size. So
I think that maybe he's still hurting from, remember he hurt his hand last Sunday in that game, and I'm wondering if maybe that contributed to his play on this game because they had such a short week. They got to turn around within a couple of days. But
and you need your hands as a... It's kind as of an offensive deal. Lineman, yeah, you use those,
right? Yeah, you got to hold a guy.
Yeah, how are you gonna hold a guy if you don't have hands? I mean, you see, guys don't really use the club on offensive line. You see, guys on defense club because not only is that, I mean, it's not really that much of a disadvantage. There's a couple things that are harder, but you also have a freaking club on the end of your arm, you know, like you can just you see him use it, you see him whack a guy's arms down. You're not gonna be able to hold a guy if you have that big of a cast just crash through you like that, but you can't do that on offense. You have to be able to get a guy
hey, don't hurt me. It's kind of like, I think the NFL, with as far as holding online and stuff like that, is turned into like the NBA. You know, like you watch an NBA game, it's just depending on what if they're, are they going to call traveling, are they going to call blocking, are they going to, you know, setting a pick or whatever. The NFL, I mean, it's so freaking. You can't watch a game and not see a holding that should have been called that wasn't
every play.
Pretty
That's
close.
Why, and I think. We talked about this last season or 2 seasons ago, maybe both. I think they should just get rid of holding as a penalty. Unless it's blatant in the like secondary, yes. But at the line, allow holding. Why not?
I think if they're going to do that, then they got to allow the defense to slap him in the head again. You got to be able to go backwards.
They're not going
to
allow hits to the head.
You got to go back just a Deacon Jones type stuff.
But, see, you mock me, Mike. You do this last week with the play action theory.
Well, no, I'm not mocking you. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, I think we need to go back in time and hit each other again.
Let's make it look.
If we're going to do that.
Oh, time football. What the hell's going on out there?
But I'm serious. Like, all the rules go to the offense.
Right,
advantage
of
the offense.
Sure.
Give them this one, too. Let them hold. And what that's going to do is it's going to eliminate a lot of. Well, one, it'll shorten games because you're eliminating a lot of these like delays in games with the penalties and everything. You're going to delay a lot of angry fans saying, why'd you call that hold when this one wasn't called? You're going to...
Just on the line?
Just on the line.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
You know, why not?
Stick with that.
They do already, and then they shift their hands to like their shoulders, and they say, hey, no. You went outside the shoulder pads. Just let them do it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah. That'd be... Stick with that because last year you had a bunch of prognostications and they turned true. So
I don't know
maybe
if this one. Well, this is kind of out there.
So you even admit that it's too far. You don't think that they would ever.
I mean,
they've got to have something.
I don't think it's a crazy idea. I think it seems like more of a big step than it would be for them to do it. Mm. Because they change rules that affect the game way more than that all the time.
Oh, I agree.
It wouldn't change all that much, and I think it would make the game better. Let's talk about defense.
All right.
So we talked about this being the key of the game being stopping their running game. They had 35 total carries, 173 yards, 4.9 yards per rush. Not great.
No, not good at all.
We did have a decent number of times we stopped the run and stuffed them at the line, and I was happy with that. But then they would get an explosive run, mm-hmm. where they're really good at having their offensive linemen get upfield, where they get that first tier block, but then once the running back's past them, they're moving up and blocking a guy, you know, in the second level. And that just opens up so many big runs when you see guys able to do that.
And they have some, I think they've got, what, three really good running backs now coming back healthy.
At least two. Yeah.
And so it's like, that's quite the, a nice problem to have when you, mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out which running back you want to hand the ball off. Then they yeah. run really well. They got a great offensive line. We really got hurt when we lost our two main guys on the defensive line. I mean, you could just mm-hmm. see it. The holes were wide open.
Yeah, so to touch on that, Mike Daniels, all we know, we're recording this Monday night, mm-hmm. The 19th. We haven't heard anything on Mike Daniels' injury other than that it's a foot injury, likely to miss a few games.
Yeah, it sucks.
Have you heard anything on Kenny Clark?
I haven't heard.
Because he went out of the game.
I looked for it, yeah.
But I don't see him on like a notice of it, so maybe it's not something that's going to keep him out.
The fact that we have basically a mini bye playing Thursday night, if we don't play for 10 days, we're not going to hear any injury updates. So, especially coming out of Green Bay. I mean, they don't share much.
Rashad Breeland went out with a groin injury.
Yeah.
He was a game time decision or kind of a, you know,
right.
will he, won't he anyways. And then Raven Green went out with an ankle injury at safety.
It's just like, it seemed like he just started showing up on the radar and then he got injured.
Yeah, he had a decent game last week. He was, you know, playing okay this game. He gave up a big pass interference penalty. There was a big throw by Wilson to, I think it was to Lockett, Tyler Lockett. And there's so many names coming at me at the moment. And Jair Alexander was perfect position to, you know, at least knock it down, but it looked like he would have had a chance on the ball. Yeah. And then Raven Green comes in and tackles the receiver before the ball gets there.
Oh, yeah, just what?
And that's what you're going to see from an undrafted free agent.
Rookie. Right, right.
You know,
I mean,
that's
a reason why he's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, if he doesn't do that kind of thing, he gets drafted.
But how about Fackrell? My gosh, this guy is coming out of
kinda
nowhere.
Kind of have to eat our hats on this guy, don't we? He's been kind of the butt of a few jokes for, what, the last two seasons and two and a half maybe? What a game by him. He was just... You know, he destroyed on the edge.
I don't know what it is. Maybe they got him new shoes or something. He's just, like, faster. He's playing
I like
faster.
Halfway?
Jump higher. Run faster.
Second half of the season now, we're finally like, you know, this guy might be kind of good. But he's been having a great season, and we're just like, man, Pettine is finding ways to get this guy sacks and get this guy tackles. But another good game. And obviously, you know, he plays by Mike Daniels, who eats up a lot of the blocks, so that does help him. But he's really coming into his own because he was all over the field this game. Six tackles, three sacks. Four of those tackles were for a loss, and he had four QB hits.
And when you add it to, like, Martinez, who is seriously, he's reading. He has hit his fine point right now because I pointed out while we were watching the game, I'm like, watch him move. He's moving to where he knows the play is going to go before the play goes there. Mm-hmm. And so when you've got, if Fackrell can keep doing what he's doing with Martinez, I mean, we're sitting really good.
One other stat to touch on, I thought the defense did pretty good on third down. The Seahawks were 6 of 15 on third down.
Interesting.
Yeah, we touched on the defensive line, kind of where the foibles came in later with Clark and Daniels going down. But then we had brain fart.
Oh, it happens.
It happens.
It happens.
You can insert crickets on post.
Jair
Alexander just going out there and balling out again. You know, for a rookie, this is not what you would expect to see.
For that position especially.
Knowing that we looked at him as the number one guy or the number two guy at corner in this draft. We still didn't expect this in a rookie season. He's going out there against some of the top receivers.
Right, exactly. And that's why I say in that position, because you got, like, let's say a rushing linebacker. You got a guy that's going to be an edge rusher. It's easier you correct me if I'm wrong, to do that than it is to go out there against the top receivers in the league, because they got to be – you can see these old guys are just licking their lips and they're going, I'll show the new kid something.
One thing that helps too, as you know, is your level of competition you play against in practice. And he's going up against Davante Adams, who is becoming one of the hardest guys to cover in the league. Adams is – I don't know if you knew this. Adams is on pace right now to have the Packers record for receptions and the Packers record for reception or for yards.
Really?
In a season.
Wow.
Yeah. And if it's weird because it feels like he could have done more this game.
Totally.
But when you're covering a guy like that in practice, Adams has been doing – having this season against some of the top cover guys in the league. If you look at the list of the guys that have been on him this season, you know, there's no easy names on that list. So, you know, Jaire Alexander, yeah, he's a rookie, but he's got the talent and he's practicing with one of the best. That's just going to make you better and have you ready for game day.
I agree.
Because even when he does get beat on a ball, you know, he's either barely missing a deflection or he's there for an immediate tackle.
Right. Yeah, he's there.
Yeah, you don't see him get beat bad.
Because I hate when you see a guy that's like 5-10 yards off, like, and then they hold their helmet. It's like, oh, I messed up. It's like, but you don't see that much with him. And so our fingers crossed, hopefully he doesn't have that sophomore slump. So,
Josh Jones, you know, another rookie who's exciting to see how he's playing. He's got the size and speed, I think, just after this game. As we've said before the season, he needs to improve his tackling.
Yeah, that we struggle with tackling in our secondary. That's really frustrating, especially with when you turn a pretty darn good play into a huge play because you missed one or two tackles.
Special teams, moving on. Not a ton to touch on here, but Crosby missed a 47-yarder in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Not what you want to see. Trevor Davis, back in there returning
kicks.
That
was nice to have
him.
He
looked explosive.
Yes.
Especially compared to having Tremont Williams in there. You know, we liked what we saw from him on kicks before, but he got hid on the IR until we could, you know, had a way to get him onto the roster. So now, good to see him in there. He had a big one that got called back. Corey Toomer had a holding penalty, called back a 43 yards on that kick return.
That was crazy. Oh man, that still hurts. That was crazy.
What was it? We were talking Sunday about making a hashtag with the special teams coach, like fire the Zook.
Oh yeah,
is that what it was? Hashtag fire the Zook, or the Zook's gotta go.
Yeah. Oh, it's those things. It's like that's like the one position where you gotta fix the mistakes because they kill you as a team. And so when you see some of these things over and over and over again, and I still go back to like what you pointed out last week where we had a lineman in there receiving the kick and running. He ends up getting a concussion. Why? Why would you have him in there? That doesn't make sense.
Why have Tremont Williams returning kicks when he's not used to ball carrying and he fumbles at one of the biggest moments in the game?
I'm so with you.
Why not make sure Montgomery knows, don't take this ball out of the end zone or we might lose the game?
Well, I think he knew. They told him.
They told him, but you better make sure he understands.
Well, apparently they thought they did, and that's why they got rid of him. But
maybe Cobb was right, is one of my final thoughts on this game. I keep hearing his statement he made after a few games ago. He made it after the game. Like, the season just feels different. There's something about it where something feels off. And they can't quite get it right. And that they're not having fun out there. And we've talked about it. It just feels like they're kind of snake bitten. They're losing in weird ways, and things are falling apart at the worst moments.
When you play a team sport like this, I think that that makes a lot of sense because you're looking at playing with your team and relying on the other players. And if you're not, like you say, snake bit, if you're not confident, you're not going to trust the other people, and so you're going to play differently. And I think that's part of Aaron's thing. I don't think he trusts – obviously, we don't go out smoking cigars and drinking scotch that often. But I'm just guessing, but I don't think he trusts his coaching. Mm-hmm. And he's got such young receivers out there, he doesn't trust his receivers. So there's a lot going
on. A new tight end. Mm-hmm. No Jordy.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what we're seeing this season. This whole season has just been Aaron missing Jordy.
It sounds like a movie on Lifetime Channel. Aaron missing Jordy.
This weekend on Hallmark. I'd say to make the playoffs, or at least to have a shot at making the playoffs, we have to win out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. There's no way. I mean, that's what, nine? Nine wins if we win out?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's stretching it if we're lucky.
Ten wins. We're at four. We have six games left.
Okay.
So let's look at the six games. We have a long week here, and then we're Sunday night at Minnesota. Tough place to play, tough place to win. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's not what we thought they might be at the beginning of the season, so that's good.
They're struggling.
But, you know, we've kind of been living in the shadow of that tie with them at Lambeau. Mm-hmm. So that makes this just a huge game because that determines which way the series goes.
Right.
So if we're tying with them for a wild card, we don't have that home field win. And then we play at home against the Cardinals. You would assume that's a win. At home against the Falcons, just for the sake of this, I'm going to say that's a win because we're at Lambeau. Then we have to beat the Bears in Chicago. And the way they've been playing this season, that's not going to be easy. And that's never an easy game when you're going there in the winter.
I agree.
And then we have to beat the Jets at the Jets. We should beat them. Right. But, you know, it's an away game. And we've had teams we should have beat this season that we haven't.
Right.
And then we have a home game against the Lions. Normally, I would say we can do that. At the moment, though, I'm like, where don't we drop one or two from these stupid mistakes we keep making?
Well, I could see us losing and just playing the other way. It wouldn't surprise me if we lost against the Vikings coming up on Sunday after Thanksgiving. It wouldn't surprise me if we lost against the Falcons. It wouldn't surprise me if we lost against the Bears in Chicago. And it wouldn't surprise me in the last game of the year to lose to the Lions. I mean, we've done that many times where it's like, oh, there's no reason for us to lose, but we do.
Yeah.
Well, they're happy, joy, joy.
Either it's going to be a 10-win season, hopefully squeak in with the wild card, see what happens, run the table 2.0, 3.0 at this point. I mean, that's basically what it is. We have to run the table again.
I don't think he's feeling it. You know, that was cool when he did the R-E-L-A-X kind of thing. You know, I don't think
he lets us know when he's feeling it and when he's confident.
And he's not feeling it.
I mean, we have a long week. Maybe something will come out before the next game and he'll sit down and, all right, guys, we're going to win a Super Bowl.
It's kind of like, what wasn't, I think it was Matthews in the Super Bowl where, I can't remember, his linebacker coach said now is the time, and he caused a fumble and we were able to win. So
what do you think would work better? Having a new guy in there, like let's say Joe Philbin, our offensive coordinator, have him call the plays on offense so there's not that like frustration between him and Rodgers, or just let Rodgers call whatever play he wants?
I don't think we can go back to letting the quarterback. I think it's too complex now. I think that they should have input. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, it's different when you're sitting up in the booth versus when you're on the field. I think it needs to be probably 60-40.
Okay. So let's preview this Vikings game
quick. All right, let's do it.
We've already touched on the fact that this is, you know, basically the season. Every game from here on out is going to be playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a long playoff here until we lose.
We've been there before.
Yep. Unfortunately, we've been there quite a bit in the Rodgers era when you would think that wouldn't be the case. So it's going to be a big game for us. It's going to be tough because it's in Minnesota. But the Packers need to establish the run. I know we said that last week. We've been saying it all season, but we really thought it would happen against the Seahawks. I can't really give you an answer why it didn't. But we need to do that. We need to get Rodgers his rhythm and confidence back by letting him run play action. We already said he's the most efficient quarterback in NFL history running play action.
I don't get why you don't use that, though. It's like McCarthy keeps talking about the numbers and stuff like that. It's like, well, what, you just pick and choose which numbers you look at? I mean, this is irrefutable. Let's go. I mean, we got a guy that you could see, you could run. I don't get it. I don't
Me neither.
It's frustrating. All right, so let's talk about Voice Guy Next Door, the sponsor for Bleeding Green and Gold. And I just want to talk about that. One of the things that people do a lot of, it's called e-learning. And it could be something as simple as you have people that come into your organization and you want to show them about your business and how you operate. And but you need, it's proven that if you have a professional voice, talk about what you want to share, it keeps people engaged. And I can help you with that. If you just go to voiceguynextdoor.com, give me a shout. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. And it'd be easy peasy. So it's voiceguynextdoor.com. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Let's do the game ball, baby.
Well, I can't quite believe it, but Kyler Fackrell.
Fackrell?
We're mean to him even after this huge game. But who else could you give it to this game? He just dominated on defense.
It was,
you know,
it was cool.
Quite the performance. So, I don't think we have his address. We have the guys we're used to sending the game balls to, but I don't know. I never thought to even look.
We actually got a whole room full of. Nobody's gotten back to us. We got a whole room full of game balls.
Company secret, man.
Shouldn't say that. Well, anyway, Kyler, we'll look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, you can have everyone else's too. we need to clear out some storage.
All of a sudden, like a week later, they drop all 100 balls.
You want new picks?
Sure.
Should we move on to picks?
Yeah.
All right. Mike Reagan.
How's Mike doing on picks?
Has bumbled his way into a 2-point lead at this point in the season. Would you say that's accurate?
No. I would not. I would not. It's just intelligent picking.
Okay. So as I said, you have a 2-point lead. We broke even last week. You took the Lions over the Panthers. The Lions won by 1 point.
Isn't that crazy?
And then I took the Bears over the Vikings, and the Bears beat the Vikings.
Pick. Yeah, good pick.
So you are still up by 2. Next week, we have only 2 games because we have 2 primetime games, both between NFC North teams.
Yep. Big time. I'm looking forward to the Thanksgiving game with the Bears and the Lions. That's a good
Bears at Lions on Thanksgiving.
That's going to be a good Thanksgiving game. Sometimes you look at them and you're like, but you know, it's always fun watching football and eating more than you should. Bears at Lions. I got to go with the Bears.
You got Bears too?
Yeah.
We got Bears. Packers at Vikings Sunday night football.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. And that's hard to
I bet. Look at that. One single tear just rolled down Mike's cheek.
Stop. You don't have to say it. It's audio. It's not video.
Don't have to say it. I captured it in a little vial. I'm going to put it on my mantle.
But you know why? Because of this last game. I told you. It's the nail in the coffin. I just don't
You want McCarthy gone?
I totally want him gone.
I'll take the Packers.
You're going
to... I need to dig into this lead you've bumbled your way into.
Okay, sure. All right.
We have, once again, another table that needs to be run. This will be one of the biggest steps to see if we can do it. And until next time...
Go Pack Go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, Go Pack Go!